This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Well, 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 sex, health and well-being in our LGBTI communities.
Presented by Joy sponsor VAC, the Victorian AIDS Council.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. It's Thursday evening and I'm joined by my colleague again, Rachel Cook. Hi Rachel, how are you going?
I'm very well and thank you for having me back.
If you missed me and Rachel, last time we were together in the studio, we were talking about drinking within the LBQ women's space. So that's lesbian, bisexual and queer women's space. And Rachel is the project lead for our LBQ women's health campaign at VAC. And she's developing a new program focusing on building a strategy for LBQ women's health. So whilst we have Rachel here, we'll also update you on the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference that we're co-producing with ACON in July. And yeah, it's beginning to all happen here for women. Rachel, what do you reckon?
Well, it certainly is, and I guess it's about time.
It is time. It's very much time, and I'm sure lots of people agree with you there. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We'll be back soon. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Good evening. All right, we've got Rachel Cook here, who is the program coordinator, program lead? What's your title?
Project lead.
Project lead for the LBQ Women's Health Program at VAC. Rachel, last time we spoke, you were telling us about this new campaign for LBQ women that was in the pipeline. So has the project been launched yet?
Yes. So the project is called Rethink the Drink, and it's the campaign that we're is part of Vic Health's Alcohol Culture Change Initiative, ASCI, which VAC is one of nine groups that Vic Health is funding to address issues around risky drinking in certain subgroups. One of those subgroups is middle-aged LBQ women in regional and rural areas. So that's who our campaign is targeted at. And we did launch at the Bendigo Queer Film Festival a couple of weekends ago, which was fantastic. So we sponsored one of the films there. We had a great crowd. We did a bit of a chat about the campaign before the film. And then after the film, we ran a panel featuring some local LBQ women talking about issues that go on for them in regional and rural areas. And we also had our wonderful Commissioner Ro Allen and on the panel as well. So it was a fantastic chance to have the community involved in a way that we don't often get to have, I think, as queer women. We don't tend to have the same platforms or access as say, gay men have, for example. And so, especially in regional areas. So it was really great for these women to actually come together, have a chat. We had some fantastic questions come from the audience and comments afterwards. And one of the things that really struck me was, and I was having a chat because we did an interview with the Bendigo Advertiser later on after the launch, and the journalist was someone who just moved from Melbourne down to Bendigo, and we were chatting about the wonderful thing about going out to regional areas is how engaged the communities are, especially the queer communities in regional areas. And I won't speak on behalf of all regional areas, but certainly in a couple of the ones that we've been visiting, obviously Daylesford and Ballarat and Bendigo, and just seeing how much they want their communities to thrive and how much effort they're willing to put in to actually make that happen. It's really heartening. You know, there's no apathy there amongst the people that we were speaking with anyway. And it was just, yeah, it was very heartening. But the best news of all was actually that they loved the campaign. So,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah. They loved. And so there are three images that are part of the campaign. And the first one that we're releasing is the one of our model on a motorbike, and that's actually was informed by our formative research actually involved speaking to Dykes on Bikes, and the information that came from that was absolutely fantastic. So obviously when you see that image, which you can this week in the new Star Observer, our image is in there, so you'll see. And I reckon that it's doing pretty well.
I've seen the campaign. It's really striking. It's really relevant. I think you've done a great job with it. So the Star Observer that's coming out very soon has that in there if you want to check it out. Is the image online somewhere too, Rachel?
Yes. So if you go to vat.org.au/rethinkthedrink or just go to vat.org.au and look under the Women's Health page, you will see that we've got the images up there, all three images. And what we also have is our stories. So
I think we're going to share some of those later on in the show.
We are. Yes.
So Rethink the Drink, what's the campaign slogan?
Couldn't have done that with a hangover. So that came out of basically in our formative research, we chatted to a lot of women in within our demographic, and we talked about, you know, what is it about drinking or their drinking habits that they feel that it has a negative impact on their lives. And overwhelmingly, we spoke about hangovers and that not only can it make the next day a little bit tough, but it's also can really relate to feelings of lack of motivation and which can then feel like, you know, that you're not achieving all the goals that you want to achieve. So some of the women that we spoke to said, you know, those goals might be as simple as, you know, you've planned to do a big hike somewhere and then, you know, if you're feeling a bit under the weather, you can't do that, and then feeling a bit bad about yourself. But then other things that were actually really interesting was a lot of women were talking about that they had either, living in the country, they had either wanted to start their own business, or they had, or that one of the reasons that they had taken a bit of a tree change was to actually get out of the rat race of the city and actually start their own businesses. And that, obviously this is not all women, but the women that we were speaking to who felt they wanted to change their drinking habits spoke about the fact of, like, you know, hangovers can be a major impediment to getting those things done and having the motivation and the confidence and the energy and all of those things it takes. So we decided to base our images then around those things, and the images had to speak to our demographic, and our demographic absolutely informed our campaign. So it's been really great to see that's been successful so far.
And I've heard there's a potential visit happening out to Geelong.
Mm-hmm. So Geelong is one of our areas too, and the Geelong community were absolutely fantastic and integral to this campaign. So we're heading out on Ida Hobbit Day next Thursday to
17th. Next Thursday,
that's
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. We'll be heading out to Geelong for the day. There's an event happening where once again Ro Allen is speaking, and we'll be there as part of the audience, but also speaking to different people about the campaign and how we can push that in their community.
Awesome. Well, we'll be back shortly to talk more about the Rethink the Drink campaign. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Looking after the health and well-being of the LGBTI community. This is Well, 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 Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I'm joined by my colleague Rachel Cook, who is the LBQ Women's Health Campaign Project Lead. And we've been talking about our newly launched Rethink the Drink campaign. And the slogan for that is, you couldn't have done that with a hangover, which I think is a really great angle to take on drinking, because there's so many scare campaigns out there, Rachel.
Yes. And look, that was the approach that we took was really informed by two things. And one of them was the formative research that we were speaking to women and you know, they made it loud and clear that they didn't want a campaign that was focused around scare tactics. They believed that just automatically makes them switch off. And it was interesting because we actually sat in on some focus testing around smoking, actually. This was a totally different campaign, and we're listening to the feedback from these focus groups, and they were showing a series of different ads around smoking, and it was just fascinating to hear their responses. And again, there was one particular campaign that was pretty hard hitting, and it was actually quite hard to even look at. And that was the ad that every member of the focus group absolutely switched off, and you know, and there was some pretty strong reactions about that. So I think that what we need to do, and this is not, you know, I'm not speaking on behalf of all health campaigns, but certainly in the area that we're working on, you have to be really careful not to alienate people. You want people to get the message and also feel that they're empowered to do something about it. You want people to feel like that what we're asking them or suggesting that might be a good tactic is not unrealistic. So basically, our campaign is, you know, designed to be motivational and inspirational, and not too heavy. And also, but just very relatable. I think most people can attest to having experienced a hangover from time to time. So it's something people can relate to. It's something that I think that is not, we're not asking people to stop drinking. That's not what the Alcohol Culture Change Initiative is all about. It's just asking people to just, you know, address some behaviours that they might think are along the lines of risky drinking. So it's pretty much... yeah, not just no scare tactics, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really cool angle to take, and I'm already engaged because it's not scary and it's not confronting.
Mm.
So it's a cool campaign. I can't wait for you all to see it. So I heard that you recently attended and spoke at the Health Indifference Conference in Sydney. What came from that?
That was fantastic. It was a little nerve-wracking because we presented at the conference, and there's for people who don't know about the conference, it's a really large national health conference that happens in Sydney, and it's fantastic. It covers all sorts of topics and areas. It was nerve-wracking not just because there was so many people there, but also because one of the researchers – so we took we used some – research that had already been done, and one of those studies was from Dr. Ruth McNair, who I'm sure a lot of listeners are actually aware of, who does amazing work in our community, and the research that she had done around LBQ women and drinking. And she was sitting sort of center front row as I was presenting, and
no,
you
pressure.
Know, and she was part of my presentation in what I was talking about. So I was just praying that I had my facts and figures right. And then after we finished presenting, they opened it up for questions in the audience, and Ruth put her hand up, and I was like, and I actually audibly said, "Oh no, not you." But she didn't have a question. She just actually commented on how wonderful she thought it was actually when you get to see research that has happened and then gets taken to that next step further, which is obviously the aim of research, is to actually have some action involved at the end. She was incredibly lovely about the campaign and full of praise about how she thought it was working. There was another really highly respected researcher in the area there, Julie Mooney Summers, who said the same thing. She thought the campaign was great. She loved the way that we had done so much formative research, and was hoping, and you know, there were suggestions that, you know, that hopefully this campaign might have a life outside of Victoria and go national as well. So yeah, it was lovely to get that sort of feedback. And then throughout the conference, we were approached by several people who work in the area. And actually, there were people who just basically came and said they loved the visuals and thought it was – so, you know, we came away from that conference feeling quite chuffed.
Oh, I'm glad, because I think you need that encouragement whenever you're building something brand new like that, and to know that you're taking the right path. You are listening to Well, Well, Well. We'll be right back. This is Joy 94.9. I'm joined this evening by my colleague Rachel Cook, who's the project lead for the LBQ Women's Health Campaign that's recently taken form at VAC. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
So we've been talking about the Rethink the Drink campaign, which is your new campaign for LBQ regional women and drinking. Is there a website that people can go to check out the campaign, Rachel?
Yes, it is vac.org.au/rethinkthedrink. Or you can just go to vac.org.au and you'll be able to navigate your way to that page.
And a big part of the campaign is real women sharing their stories. Are you looking for people to submit stories, Rachel?
Yes, we are, all the time. And what's, we have some stories already, and what's been really great is that in just since launching the campaign, we've had women writing in with their stories, and the stories are fantastic. They're really poignant. I think they speak to a whole range of people and a whole range of issues as well, because it's not, you know, it's not just about drinking. So I think that one of the reasons why we decided to go down the share your story mode was that that's something that I think women seem to engage with really well. It's something that certainly not the first campaign that has used this approach, but it is, I think, the first time that we'll be able to see that in within the queer women's community in regards to this subject, especially in Victoria. So people have been sharing their stories, and they've been talking about, you know, just their lives and how they think that drinking is affecting them, why they think that they drink to certain levels, why they stop drinking, or, you know, what might be some triggers for them, what they see happening in their own community is a big one. And I think that, you know, it's just sharing these stories, you know, we often can, you know, in this sort of individualist era that we live in, think that we sort of are coping on our own, you know, and have a disconnect sometimes from our community or from other people. And I think by reading these stories, you know, you can see yourself in all of the stories, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great thing to for women to actually share and do, and for us to be able to read them as well.
And if our listeners would like to share their stories, they can go on to vac.org.au/rethinkthedrink and they can submit stories there.
Absolutely. There's share tabs, and you'll get an idea from reading the other stories, the sort of thing that we'd like to hear about. But of course, don't let that limit you. We're happy to hear all sorts of stories.
And I would like to request that maybe you share one of the stories with us, Rachel. Would that be okay?
Yep, sure. Okay.
Cool. Go for it.
Okay. So this is Ruth's story. So this is just another quick point, is that you can remain anonymous or you can just use a first name. It's absolutely, you know, fine with us. So this is Ruth's story. I have never been much of a drinker myself, but I would say most of my partners have been pretty heavy drinkers. This was something that struck me when I entered the lesbian community. When I was straight, we drank, but the women for the most part didn't drink as much as the men. That wasn't the case in the lesbian bars. I wouldn't say I was ever one for the bars or clubs, and so when I first fell in love with my first girlfriend, I was keen to settle down pretty quickly. She was too. We were together for 10 years, and for the first 5 years we lived in the city. We moved to Daylesford to have a less stressful life, and I think that's when I really noticed how much my partner drank. When we lived in the city, we had a lot of dinner parties and friends would come over and eat and drink, and I would say most of those women drank far too much, but there were times when we met for coffee or went to the movies and it wasn't about drinking. When we moved to the country, when we met friends, it was always about drinking. That's partly because there wasn't as much to do, but it also seemed as if that was what was expected. It was a long-standing ritual, you could say. My partner's drinking steadily increased and things got pretty bad. It was our dream to run a bed and breakfast on our property, but it just never happened, and I think that had a lot to do with the fact that my girlfriend was always hungover or drinking. Of course, it wasn't all her fault, but I just didn't know how to help her. When I met my current partner, she was a big drinker too, but by that stage I had made a point of keeping away from large drinking events, so she either had to go alone or do things with the friends I'd made for who drinking wasn't such a central part of socialising. I think her having time away from the constant routine of getting drunk every weekend made her realise there was a whole other life out there. We actually did start a bed and breakfast, and I think because we wanted to do that so well, drinking just became less and less of a thing. My girlfriend said having her own business and wanting to be successful was so fulfilling that she didn't want to drink as much, so I'm pretty glad about that.
That's such a lovely story. It's giving me goosebumps. And yeah, it seems like that really relates to a lot of the campaign messaging where, you know, wanting to start your own small business and all of those things that hangovers can prevent.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, like that particular story too, you know, it's not so much about Ruth's own drinking. She's talking about, you know, the community that she, I think it's one of the things that I find interesting about that particular story is that she talks about the difference between what it was like in the straight community and then what it was like once she, you know, moved into the lesbian community. And I think that's something that I think a lot of people can relate to and that was brought up on several occasions in our research as well. So, you know.
And the perspective of the partner, you don't think about it as.
No.
You assume that this campaign is just about the person who's doing the drinking, but in fact it impacts your partner's life just as much as it impacts yours.
Absolutely.
If not more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's really quite an interesting perspective to see the campaign take.
Well, would you like to read a story?
Yes, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, I will read another story out from one of our LBQ women from rural Victoria. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Good evening. I still have Rachel here with me. She hasn't gone anywhere. We have been talking about VAC's new Rethink the Drink campaign, which is a campaign for LBQ women, lesbian, bisexual and queer identifying women and their drinking habits or lack of. And we've been sharing some stories that are related to the campaign. So Rachel just shared a story by the lovely Ruth and I think we might share another story, Rachel. Do we have time for one more?
Yes, I'd love for there to be another story shared.
Can I read one out this time?
I'd love you to read one.
It reminds me of being back at school. So this one's from Bronnie, who's from Ballarat. As I hit my 40s, I've realized that I don't bounce back after a big night like I used to. Quite some time ago when I began frequenting the gay bars, I could have started on a Thursday night and ended on a Sunday. That lifestyle seemed socially acceptable as a student, especially a queer one. I found myself recently single again and on the lookout to meet some new ladies. At my age, attempting a big night out leaves me with a hangover from hell and a dose of anxiety to boot. I'm generally not an anxious person, but when I'm hungover, I can barely leave the house. I found myself forgetting the second half of the night or how I managed to navigate my way home. That's when my old friend Shame comes to visit. I wake up still drunk sometimes and think that drinking the pain away, hair of the dog, is a fab idea until Monday rolls around and I'm beginning my work week feeling shaky and regretful. Recently, I felt like all of the drinking had caught up with me, so decided to take a week off. This decision was for my physical and mental health. I had the realization that I was smoking more because I was drinking more frequently. What started as a social habit had creeped into my everyday life. Abstaining from alcohol for an entire week was much harder than I had anticipated, but I came up with strategies of my own to prevent me from drinking. Instead of going out to bars to meet women, I would use other avenues such as going to classes at the gym or taking my dog to the dog park. I felt fresh after just a week off the drink and cigarettes. Being active was giving me more energy and confidence. I realized that I'd been relying on alcohol for confidence that was always there without it.
Ooh. Yeah,
hits me in the feels, that one.
Yeah, there's that last line. I really think is just so poignant about. I realized I've been relying on alcohol for confidence that was always there without it. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because I mean, drinking is a big part of our culture in Australia, and you know, I guess we all tend to start probably in our teens or late teens, and then it is something that it just continues to be part of our weekends and our culture in all sorts of situations, that you can actually forget that there was a period in your life where you actually did these things without drinking. And a lot of it is just habit. It's about breaking habits and starting new habits, breaking routines that aren't perhaps working for you. And, yeah, no, I think that the other part of that story that really I think is a great thing to bring up is that hangovers aren't just about headaches and nausea. You know, a lot of people do experience anxiety as an after effect as well, which can be quite debilitating. So, yeah, no, that's another great story.
Yeah, and a friend of mine shared in a group message recently an article that someone had written, and I think it's supposed to be satirical and send a message, but it was research has found that people who are drunk or the person that you are when you're drunk is actually who you really are. And it was funny because we were reflecting upon some of the wild behaviors that we have when we're drunk. But in fact, I am just as wild when I'm sober as when I'm drunk, and I don't really need the alcohol to do that. But sometimes it's almost like a scapegoat for us to say, oh, well, I can behave any way I want whenever I'm drunk. But why wait till you're drunk to be crazy? Just be wild all the time.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And I guess sometimes, you know, that can be even just be a challenge that we can put to ourselves sometimes to say, okay, well, I might just try going to, you know, this dinner party or this particular event and not drink as much or not drink and just see how I am. And it can be quite confronting if that's what you're used to doing.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, but you know, like most challenges, if you get through it, you know, you feel a lot better about yourself, you know, and it does show you what you're capable of.
Yeah, that one was quite hard hitting, that story. I think for another point that I took from it, for a lot of people, especially as we get into our 30s and 40s and you become single again, well, the expectation to meet someone who's on your level is that you're going to have to find a lesbian bar, as they like to call them, or somewhere where you can meet like-minded people. And so it's almost like socializing revolves around alcohol for our community. And that means that if you are recently find yourself single, you turn to alcohol for the support, but you also turn to alcohol for the social aspect of it.
And
that's another thing that our community have a challenge.
And I think, you know, and that's fine. Like, as I said before, this campaign is not about abstaining. You know, drinking can be, a fun and, you know, it can be, there can be lots of great things that happen around drinking, as you say, like socializing, connecting, just basically thinking about, you know, if the levels that you're drinking at are affecting you in a negative way and perhaps rethinking that and looking at things you can do to decrease your levels of drinking. But absolutely not about abstaining, just being, I guess, mindful about how we're treating ourselves.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we will be right back after a quick break. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. In the next segment, we'll be talking about the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference. We'll be right back. This is VAC's Health and Sexual Health Show. I'm joined by my colleague Rachel Cook, who is the project lead for VAC's LBQ Women's Health Strategy and Campaign. We've talked a lot about drinking on the show tonight, Rachel, but drinking is only one element of health and well-being within the LBQ Women's Health community. Could you tell us a bit more about what's going on in that space?
Yes. So it is pretty exciting what's happening at VAC in that space. Basically, we're putting together a strategy that's going to look at a number of different issues that affect LBQ women. One of the things that we have found, and research also tells us this, is that the LBQ women's health has actually been largely overlooked by not just mainstream, but LGBTIQ health organisations as well. And that's something that is pretty prevalent in throughout Australia and overseas as well. And so what we've seen then is because those health issues have been largely ignored, we're seeing, you know, alarming stats coming out amongst LBQ women's health in regards to getting screening for breast cancer or screening for cervical cancer, higher rates of smoking, as we've talked about, higher rates of drinking, and a whole myriad of other things. And so luckily, not just VAC, but also Vic Health and also the Victorian government are starting to realise this is something that they have to move on, because, you know, you can't have a certain part of the community going backwards in regards to health. And that's what we're seeing in terms of LBQ women's health. So basically we're putting together a strategy to look at all of those issues. We're currently working with the Cancer Council, working with a whole range of different organisations, looking at what we can do to not just put campaigns together to inform people, but also encourage women in our community that to go and get tested for things like breast cancer and cervical cancer, and also to dispel some myths. There are some but those myths that actually exist in our community are not just amongst LBQ women. We've heard stories of women being told by their GPs that because they are not sexually active with men, that they don't need to have pap smears. That's a pretty alarming thing to hear, and when we've heard it from several different sources. So basically it's dispelling myths, getting women to take better care of their health, and also just, you know, demanding from our organisations that they actually start recognising the needs of LBQ women. LBQ women have been absolutely instrumental in all areas of our community as support networks and in lots of ways. So it's, I think it's time that we actually started taking care of that community as well.
Which brings me to talk about the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference that we have coming up, which is very exciting. And it's an annual conference that VAC and ACON co-present. Last year it was in Sydney for the first time with ACON. And this year it's back in Melbourne. And it's all very exciting. It's happening on the 12th and 13th of July, formerly known as the LBQ Women's Health Conference, Rachel, but we recently changed the name to make it more inclusive of all LGBTIQ women.
Yes, that's right. So the conference is in its fourth year. It started in 2015 and it was called the LBQ Women's Health Conference. And basically, two things. Firstly, they weren't expecting, I think they were expecting about 30 to 50 people to show up, and they got over 300. So it just shows you how needed this conference is. And at the end of every conference, they asked for feedback, and overwhelmingly, there was a lot of feedback about changing the name to LGBTIQ. People felt that it was obviously more inclusive, and also just to reflect the sort of content that was happening at the conference. The conference has always had sessions around trans women and trans health and a whole range of different communities as well. So the name basically was to reflect that.
Yeah, I think it was a really good move on behalf of both organisations. What kind of workshops and speakers can we expect to see at the conference this year, Rachel?
It's a veritable smorgasbord, really. It's so diverse, which is just wonderful. So we've got everything from looking at things, as I was talking about before, relating to diseases such as cancer, issues such as smoking and drinking, but also we've got, you know, wonderful panels like on topics such as sex workers, on refugees. You know, as I think the work that we need to do in the refugee space cannot be underestimated, and especially when it comes to LBQ women who are refugees. This is something that we really haven't done much in our community or at all. I have heard stories and in fact met several gay men who are refugees, and it's fantastic. We've got to keep telling those stories, but we need to broaden those stories as well and make sure that we're inclusive. So that's one of the panels that I'm really interested and looking forward to hearing. We've got people who are talking about sex education, which is something that we also tend to ignore in our community as well. So, but there's, you know, we've got fantastic keynote speakers coming from overseas. Yeah, wonderful things.
I've heard we have Naomi Fontanas from the Philippines coming. Also Sally Rugg, who is the CEO of Change.org, and Gerald Rector, the CEO from Vic Health. We've got a lot of boss women coming our way.
Yes, we do.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I have been joined tonight by my colleague Rachel Cook. She's still here, and it's been really great to have you on the show again, Rachel. It's always informative and great to listen to what you have to say in the LBQ women's health space. We were talking before the break about the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference, which is being hosted here in Melbourne on the 12th and 13th of July at the Jasper Hotel on Elizabeth Street. And it's really exciting to have the conference back in Melbourne, which we co-produce with ACON in New South Wales. Rachel, how can people register if they'd like to attend the conference?
Okay, so they can register by going to our website, which is lbq.org.au.
Great.
And you can also follow us on Twitter at LGBTIQWHC. So that's just to remember that's Women's Health Conference. So at LGBTIQWHC. Facebook.com/LGBTIQWHC. There's plenty of ways to find us.
Great. And so, yeah, if you're interested in coming along to the conference, you can register on the website. Registrations are flowing in fast, and it's a very reasonably priced conference as well. Even if you're a community member, if you work for an LGBTI organization, if you're a health professional, if you're a student, there's something really for everyone there. And if you go onto the website, you can check out the past year's programs to get an idea of the sorts of sessions that will be available there. We're also accepting expressions of interest for volunteers, Rachel, is that right?
Yes, we are. And I think it's a great way to be involved in the conference as well. And so, you know, some of those roles will be, you know, around registration, stage management, social media, logistics, meeting and greeting, and room coordinators. So there's you know, varied roles to do too. And I think it's just a great way of engaging with the community in a really important event and, you know, making new friends.
Brilliant. And if you'd like to express your interest as a volunteer for the conference, just head to lbq.org.au/volunteer. There's a little form you can fill out there and then someone will get back to you. Preferably, we would like women to get in touch because it is a women's health conference and we want to make that space available for you. Yeah, and I think it's a half day volunteering is all we're asking for in return for two day pass to the conference. So I think it's a good deal for anyone who'd like to come along for free and get some experience. Now, it looks like it might be time for us to finish up soon, Rachel. Is there anything else that you want to reiterate or wrap up before you leave the show today?
Just a reminder that, yeah, the conference is July 12 and 13. So it's not that far away, which is a bit scary, I guess. But, but get your registrations in so you can be part of this event. It really is, as I said, just not just a great way to be engaging with your community and learning about things that will be, you know, of benefit to yourself and others, but also just a great way, you know, it's not many spaces we have where you get so many LGBTIQ women en masse in the one place.
It's heaven on earth.
Yeah, you know, it's hundreds of women and just a really diverse community, and it's a great event, and I would encourage everyone to come on down.
And we will have a social event on the Thursday night of the conference, which is a great way for everyone to step away from the seriousness of the content and just get to know one another and network. Great space for that.
Absolutely. Mm. And I think it's just a great way for women to, you know, to engage with one another and share their stories.
Yeah, brilliant. And on the subject of story sharing, as we mentioned earlier in the show, our new campaign is all about story sharing, the Rethink the Drink campaign. So if you would like to share a story of a time in your life where, you know, you've been drinking or you feel like alcohol has impacted your life or not impacted your life, you can head to our website, vac.org.au/rethinkthedrink, and share one of your stories with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming on the show again, Rachel. Can't wait to have you on again. You've been listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We'll see you next Thursday night.
For sexual health, mental health, and your overall well-being, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.